Let us pray. Loving God, we are led by many desires, commanded by many voices, torn by many forces. Speak your word to us. Give us your one command, that our souls may be still, that our hearts may be one, that our minds may be clear, that our strength may be yours. Bring us to right desire, right thought, and right action. Speak to us, God, for we are hungry for your word. Amen. A reading from the book of Acts. Now the apostles and believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why do you go to the Gentiles and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners. And it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." The word of life.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from John's Gospel in the 13th chapter. Jesus said, "My dear little children, I will be with you only a little while longer, and then you will look for me. And like I've said to the others, I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, love one another. This is how they'll know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Simon Peter said, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus said, "Where I am going, you cannot follow. But you will follow later." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are some politicians and political candidates who are touting their Christian beliefs, but they don't sound a lot like Jesus to me. So it raises this question: what exactly is Christian and what isn't? Some of those candidates are calling for a prohibition of Muslim immigrants entering this country. Now, I presume that if they're saying that, they actually mean that, and they actually mean that we should really actually try to stop Muslims. So I bet they mean that when an immigrant comes to the immigration service, we don't just say, "So, are you Muslim?" And they say, "Nope." And we go, "Okay." My guess is they think there ought to be some kind of vetting, some kind of evidence. Well, that's fair. So what is the evidence for being Christian? Just saying, "Oh yeah, I'm Christian," that doesn't count. So what does? What is it that makes us Christian? We say this is a Christian nation. That's baloney. But we claim to be Christians. Is that baloney? What does it mean to be Christian? Now, I have some colleagues, some pastors of my denomination and other denominations, who will say what it is to be Christian is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he came to die for your sins, basically to believe in the Apostles' Creed. Jesus did not say that. He said something quite different and really plain, really clear. "This is how they will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another." It's not about our beliefs. It's about our love. And this isn't the golden rule. Notice this. This is a little different. It's not just love others as you wish they would love you, because sometimes we're not very clear about that. It's not just love your neighbor as yourself, because sometimes the way we love ourselves is pretty messed up. It's love one another as I have loved you. And Jesus shows us what that love is like. He spends his life describing that kind of love for us. And he says to his disciples, "Nobody has greater love than this, to lay down your life for others." So there's this infinitely self-giving love that Jesus loves us with, that Jesus shows us how God loves us. This self-giving, delighted, compassionate love. And it's a love that's always growing. Jesus' culture had their set of people that were excused, that we didn't have to love. We have our set of people that we believe we don't have to love. And Jesus spent a lot of his ministry trying to show people that, in fact, you do have to love them. Not just your friends and your family, but your neighbors and foreigners and the outcast and the sinful and your enemies. He keeps pushing that boundary. Nobody is excused from love, because God excuses no one. God loves us with this perfect, total, complete, delighted compassion. No exceptions, no judgments, just love. That's the vision that shakes the early church when Peter goes to Cornelius' house in that story that Jane just read. They're alarmed that Peter is going to the Gentiles. But that's the way God's love works. It keeps inviting us to love the people that we didn't think we had to love. That's the vision of the kingdom of God that Jesus keeps talking about. That new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven that we'll hear from in a minute. It's a new city of love. It's a pretty high bar, that love. It's not just feeling good about other people. It's this self-giving bond with them in God's grace. It might feel like kind of a bar that's too high. It feels like we can't really love like that, so why even talk that way? It can sort of put us off because we feel like, well, we can't do that. But here's the thing. The way Jesus loves us is with limitless forgiveness. So when we try to love as we have been loved and we fail, Jesus forgives us and loves us some more. So we try to love like that, and we fail, And Jesus forgives us. We try to love some more. And it goes on and it goes around and it never stops. What can feel like it's threatening or intimidating is actually really empowering to love as we have been loved. Because the way Jesus loves us, the way God loves us, isn't just loving at us or toward us. God loves for us and in us and with us and through us. We're not just the passive objects of God's love. God is in us loving. So the way we have been loved is that we are given love that now is our love. So our love is adequate because it's God's. And God continually invites us to receive this amazing, delighted love in who we are. Yeah, we're messed up. God knows that. And we spend a lot of our energy trying to decide how other people are more messed up than we are. So we pick other people's sins to judge, and we all do that. So somebody will judge somebody else because they're gay, and then I'll judge you because you're judgmental, and then you'll judge me. And it goes around the circle. And God's love doesn't include any of that. It's just compassion for who people really are, already the way they are. And that's so foreign to us that we have to continue to practice receiving that love. That's why we read the Gospels. That's what makes it Christian, that we love as Jesus has shown us, not just as we see in the movies. So we read the Gospels and we pray and we come to this table. We come to the communion table over and over again to take into ourselves the Word and the community and the bread, and that bread is absorbed into our bodies, and the nutrients in the bread literally become our muscles and our bones and our nerves, and the calories in that bread literally become the energy with which we live, and God's love in that bread literally becomes our love. And we continue always to receive that love and to let it fill us and change us and push out everything that's not love. And we give up our judgments, not only of others, but also of ourselves, that we're not there yet. Jesus says this interesting thing to Peter, who he's in the same conversation is telling Peter that Peter's going to deny him three times. Jesus says, "You can't follow me now, but you will later." It's a journey. It's an unfolding. Keep going. Keep going. Let that love fill you and change you until that infinite love is all there is in you. It's a long process. The story is told of an old monk who had lived a long and righteous life. He'd gone on a journey and he was on his way back. He was very old and he was tired and the journey was long. And he got so tired that he could go no farther, and he just stopped by the side of the road. A strong young traveler came along and saw him and said, "Old man, I will help you. Where are you going?" And the old monk said, "I'm going home to my monastery." And the young man said, "Ah, so you're a Christian." And the old monk said, "I am becoming one." That's the journey we're on. Allowing God's love to become our love. It never ends. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for your infinite love, that you cherish and honor us, and pray that your love will fill us so that we might love and honor and cherish all other people, all living beings. Fill us with your love. Let us breathe your love in and breathe out your love. Breathing in your love, breathing out your love. Your love becomes my love. Your love, my love. God, we thank you for your endless love. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace.